I think the Holy Spirit's putting this on me, and I don't understand why. And you never know when someone goes, oh my gosh, you do not know. I needed to hear that, you know? And it's part of being our family and encouraging one another. Just like with my children, when I see like they're down, it's like, hey, bud, what's up? Nothing. No, there's something, you know? And you engage, you reach out. It's part of relationship in our body. Without our body, we could just be lone wolves, but we need each other. And the open mic is an opportunity for us to participate in worship. It's not just up to us on the front. It's not just up to the pastors preaching. And I'll show you an example right here. Come on up, Don. Thank you.
The thing Sean said about we may have difficulties seeing the provision, but we know that God is the provider. We may feel at times that we've been wronged, but we know that God is the protector. And I actually wrote something about that in the Bible study I've written. So I declare, I do not know why my husband lost his job, but I know that you are the provider. And also I've been thinking about giants. As we all probably have giants in our lives that we don't know what to do about. And I've been thinking a lot about that lately and how God told the children of Israel, yes, there are giants in the land, but you follow me and I will drive out the giants. There are a couple other things about giants. One is that he didn't drive out all the Canaanites, and one of the reasons was that he wanted to teach them war, and also that so that the land would not overwhelm them all at once. And the third thing, with David facing giant Goliath, he picked up what he knew. He picked up the 5 stones from the stream. And so there are several ways that God might deal with the giants in our lives. He might drive them out. He might leave them there and give us the grace to learn something. Or he might give you the stones to throw at them. So remember that you may have giants, but God is the protector. Amen.
One of those giants has been, for me, a lot of times, it's just to come up to the open mic. You know, the spirit of fear takes over. Maybe I feel like the Lord's given me something to say, but fear steals that away from you all. And this morning, the Lord woke me and gave me a word. My wife and I just got done with 3.5-day marriage workshop. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit was just amazing. It did some amazing things in our relationship. One of the things that I took away from that is there's so much more that the Holy Spirit wants to do with the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit, through the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to call that forth and declare that if there's any fear, if there's any sense of shame or judgment that you might feel from the body, that is the enemy. That is the voice of the enemy, and we need to stand against that. And so I would like to just silence the voice of the enemy this morning. Amen. Because we often hear things that we're not supposed to, things that hold us back from what the Lord wants to do in us. So in the name of Jesus, I come against Satan and his hordes, the spiritual forces of darkness, and say, Lord Jesus, would you rebuke Satan? Would you silence the voice of the enemy? Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Be silent in the presence of the living God. Be silent in the presence of the living God. Then I want to bless you, spiritual blessing. I bless your spirits to receive all that the Lord wants to give you today. And I have a scripture. My dad shared it with me last week, and it has come up several times. 2 Corinthians 3 says, "Now the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone," that's the giving of the Ten Commandments, you know. What a way to describe it, the ministry of death. But it came with such glory. I mean, the fire on the mountain and the thundering and the power and the face of Moses just radiated the glory of God, such that the glory of the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. It was fading. That glory, it was not meant to last. It was a ministry of death. The old covenant is gone. It has been replaced by the new covenant. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? Yes. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the ministry or the glory that surpasses it. For what was being brought to an end with glory, the old covenant, much more what is permanent will have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. That's what I need. I am bold in the power of God. Fear does not need to rule over me. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites may not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. It's almost like that veil put a curse on the Jewish nation, the Israelites. A curse that whenever they read the Word of God, they didn't see the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't see the one that was promised. But when the Holy Spirit took that away and Christ came, it was removed. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Folks, I think that's for us. We need to turn to the Lord. I think the veil can come again for us. Even though the veil was removed when we came to Christ, things get cloudy. We lose our way, and we need the Lord again today to remove that veil. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, reminds me of John 1, the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory. And what was it full of? Glory was full of grace and truth. We need to behold that glory and are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. Wherever you are, He wants to transform you into a greater degree of glory. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would bring a fresh anointing upon this body. Lord Jesus, we are your bride. We ask that you would tear the veil from our eyes and help us to see your glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come to us and minister to us today. Help us to be transformed as we behold your glory. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit if there's anything he wants you to say to the body today. Just listen and come if he gives you something.
So actually, there is. Don Wright said something about David, how he just took 5 stones out of the stream and used what he had. And it made me think of something that happened at Mission Connection on Friday. I was only able to go on Friday night and only watched one lecture because I was busy working on Saturday, doing other things. But in that one lecture, one of the things that was emphasized was how the man giving the lecture, he made Skate Church, which was basically an organization where skateboarders can come skateboard in a gym, a skateboarding gym, and then have the gospel preached to them. And that's all it was. And one of the things he emphasized was how he took the 3 things he was good at. He had a big mouth. He was good at carpentry to build skateboarding ramps. And he could skateboard. And he used those 3 simple things to share the gospel. And then Don Wright reminded me about that when she mentioned how David took just 1 simple thing that he was good at, using a sling, and he used it to spread God's will to defeat Goliath and the Philistines in the process. And it just made me think about that, how it doesn't really matter what we have in any shape or form. It could be anything. It could be being good at using a sling. And God's will can be done through whatever gift you have.
Amen.
That's all.
just want to say, that's exciting. Like, wow. That, I don't know. Grace upon grace flowing down through the precious blood of Christ. Like, we are all sinners here. And Jesus paid the same price for each and every one of us. And we are all desperately hopeless without him. But grace upon grace upon grace flows down because of Jesus. And that's so cool. Like, we have every reason to rejoice, guys. We didn't deserve any of that. And that's, like, we deserve to be totally separated from him forever. But grace upon grace upon grace for us sinners flows down through Christ's blood. And that is every reason to rejoice no matter what. So, unless you're excited, that's cool to me.
How sweet the place where you dwell, O Lord. My soul longs and faints for you. My heart sings out a loud song of joy, for I have known the living God. I want to be where you are, O Lord. I want to be where you are, O Lord. I'd rather have just one day with you than be anywhere else. There's no good thing that you will withhold from those who live to follow you. I'd rather be your servant, O God, than have the riches of this world. I want to be where you are, O Lord. I want to be where you are, O Lord. I'd rather have just one day with you than be anywhere else. Those who follow you go from strength to strength. Those who follow you are filled with joy. Those who follow you go from strength to strength. Those who trust in you. Just one day with you than be anywhere else.
I was at a Bible study this week, and I don't remember the verse, but they were talking about how in Romans they refer to God adopting us as children, and we have a picture of adoption like present day, you know, but he took the context of adoption back then in Roman culture, and that was kind of cool to hear about how like different that is. So one of the things that really struck me about that was back in Roman culture, when they adopted someone, it wasn't necessarily a child to raise. It was someone who they wanted to inherit something. So normally, if you adopt somebody, it's something that you think is trustworthy and can manage your finances well when you pass away. So one of the things that he was saying is when the writer of Romans referred to God adopting us, God chose us for his inheritance. And that was really cool. Another thing is adoption actually didn't come into play until the adoptee, the person who adopted whoever, passed away. You didn't inherit anything until that happened, and you also didn't become adopted until that person passed away. And obviously, in Christ, he did die, so we could get that inheritance, and obviously he's living now, but so that was just really cool to hear that, I guess, different context.
Come on up. I have a shelter in the storm when troubles pour upon me. Though fears are rising like a flood, my soul can rest securely. Oh Jesus, I will hide in you, my place of peace and solace. No trial is deeper than your love that comforts all my sorrows. I have a shelter in the storm when all my sins accuse me, though justice charges me with guilt. Your grace will not refuse me. Oh Jesus, I will hide in you, who bore my condemnation. I find my refuge in your wounds, for there I find salvation. A shelter in the storm when constant winds would break me, for in my weakness I have learned your strength will not forsake me. Oh Jesus, I will hide in you, the one who bears my burdens, who faithful I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And Paul's prayer: I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Not that we become stronger, but that we may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Everything in every way. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. And the seal of the Holy Spirit is upon you if you have asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. And in him, as I just read, he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Do we live our lives that way? As the service began, Steve, you hit the nail on the head. The busyness of life, the struggles and the stresses of work and family, finances, can consume you. And there's nothing that the evil one will use faster and more effectively than those very issues to draw us away from living our lives in Christ. Are you in him today? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. I challenge you, as I challenge myself, to live this day and every day this week in him.
I
become. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Second verse. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my song. To you, thank you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Again, so teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Wow, the clock just is fighting against us. Come on up, Don. I just want to worship for like about another hour and a half.
I just lost my verse. Oftentimes when we have this idea of how things should be, whether it's praying for a struggle in your marriage or your finances or a loved one who's dying. And so when we come to that difficulty that's not moving away, where the mountain's not moving, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can make that mountain move, and it's not moving. Or you're in the boat, and it's tossing and tossing and tossing, and things just aren't looking the way you should, that you think they should. And Jesus said in John chapter 6, he's telling them what's going to happen to him. And you have to eat of my blood, or eat of my body, drink of my blood. And after this, actually, verse 65 says, and he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. And verse 66 says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus had just said something that didn't meet their expectations. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And I just would just pray that when you come to that wall, when you think what Jesus was going to do, when you think Jesus was going to do something that you thought the scriptures were saying he was going to do, he's not doing it in your time or in the way you think. Just remember, whom can we turn to? Who can we go? He has the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.
Dawn, I just want to confirm what you just shared right there, because I've got my Bible open to that exact verse, because that's what I was going to share, but I'm like, man, it's just going crazy today. Holy Spirit wants to talk to us, and he wants to share with us what is on, what the Spirit of God is breathing right now. Can you sense that? You know, as a worship team and worship leaders, we always want to try to keep our time contained and stuff, but I'm going to beg indulgence on all of you. Do you have something, Dennis? Come on up. You know, we're here to minister to each other. This is what it's about.
I've been reading through a book about Romans. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. This is a little hard to handle unless we stop and think about it. It is in tribulation that the grace of God becomes so very, very apparent. By tribulation, we're brought ever closer to God, and we are more exalted in grace because of it. Though it is arduous at the time, there is great hope. It develops a stick-to-it attitude, and you will be able to say things like, God, you brought me through this automobile accident. Or, God, you brought me through the death of a loved one. Or you brought me through this illness. Or you brought me through this demise of a relationship. Or you brought me through this financial disaster that I faced. You, God, brought me all the way through. And when I used to think about things like that, I thought that we would see God's grace in his healing. Or we would see God's grace in his financial restoration. But it's not that at all. It's that God's walking us through those things, and he gives us the grace as we walk with him, and we learn and grow because of that time with him.
Amen. I know it's late, but I'm going to do one more song. You want to come up? Okay, come on up.
I'm really sorry, but before Natalie came up, when we were singing about grace and grace and grace, I almost came up then, and then when Dennis came up and was talking about grace again and tribulation, I'm like, okay, I have to go up. This weekend was just really strange, because Friday, Sean and I were supposed to go out on a double date with some friends of ours, and I was really sick, and he got the kids up and got them off to school, and I couldn't do anything Friday. And so we had to cancel with these friends of ours. And I was so disappointed, because it was the second time, because the week before, prior, Sean was sick. And I was so disappointed that we couldn't go with these friends of ours. And at 2:30 that afternoon, we were supposed to meet with them at 3 o'clock. At 2:30, Sean got a phone call
that from a client, a customer that's across the country, and there's a lot about it, but it was such a profound thing because he calls at 2:30 and Sean was out the door by 3 o'clock driving to Seattle for a job that was quite lucrative. And it was a customer that he had before he went to Chown. And I had said something to him, call this customer back, because when he went to Chown, he kind of brought that customer with him. And that customer called Chown because they needed help and Chown could not help them. And I just kept thinking, just the grace of God to be sick. I mean, I didn't want to be sick. I've been sick for quite a while. And that day was when I got the sickest. I was laid out and I couldn't do anything that day. And for about a month and a half since Skip spoke about thankfulness in Psalm 92, God has just been doing a work in me. Actually, it was before that, but that day was when God knocked me off my feet about being thankful in every situation. And Sean losing his job, it's been so hard to be thankful, and yet I know that it's God's will, and I'm grateful and struggling. And so this thing was just, it was just God's grace pouring over us that I got sick and he was able to go to Seattle, and there was, it was just crazy. So I had to share that about grace and thankfulness.
Thank you. Amen. We serve a good God, right? And sometimes you're full of joy and you're happy, and sometimes life just beats you up and you're just feeling the bruises and the pains, and you sit there and you want to look at your scars and go like, oh, that hurt. I got hurt right here. You know, you're focusing on those kinds of things. They're nature. We do that. But when you pause a second and you realize we serve a good God, and he doesn't see it, not only just, he doesn't take a step back and say, no, you don't understand. I can see the next week. He sees the next month, and he sees the next year, and he sees all eternity, and he still cares about the little things going on in our lives. We serve a good God. Amen. Come on up, Gordon. Who's doing the announcements? You can be seated.